Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Zebra Stripes Podcast, Season 2, Episode 10. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. I am joined by Coach Whit LaJour. I'm speaking a little bit fast. You know why I'm speaking a little bit fast? Because we are going full-on fast break NCAA tournament. Week 2 is here, Sweet 16. You like it, we love it. We're going to hit you. It's going to be all things NCAA. We're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time. Coach Whit, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, episode 10, double digits, just like all those seeds that advanced and, you know, at least not too many double digits left, but Princeton is, so doing great.
Absolutely.
And hey, kudos. Sorry, I'm cutting you off. Kudos. Princeton was called by you last week. So best call of the week right there.
Best call
of
the week.
We're not here.
I think you have to.
I'm trying to blow up this episode.
You have to beat your chest on these things, right? Because it wasn't like they might be okay. No, I was pretty bullish on them getting a dub. Like I thought so, and so much so that I even bet them in the second round. So much so I bet them in the second round money line, and so. I really felt good about what they were doing, and I thought that matchup, you know, favored them. It gets real for them now, though. It gets real in the Sweet 16, but they're here.
Yeah, but like Charles Barkley says, I mean, it's going to be a three-point shooting contest. On paper, they got the easiest task they've had yet. Now, I don't think it's going to be that easy, and I'm in agreement with you, but, you know, things could turn into a horse game.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I agree with Charles. I guess it is gonna. I think it will be a shooting game. But I just feel like there's levels to this, right? And so on any given night, obviously Princeton can get hot. I've said it before, but I think they're dealing with an element that is 100% okay with playing that type of game. Like they are. Oh, is this what we're doing today? Okay, cool. Like, let's have fun. So again, take the over. Take the over if you're out there. We want to put some money in your pocket. We probably made you a couple dollars if you went with us last week on some things, unless you took our VCU pick, who did not get it done, but I really thought made a good showing of themselves, you know, in the process. Real quick, before we jump into the NCAA tournament. You know, a little college basketball comings and goings. St. John's, they get their man in Rick Pitino. Is Rick Pitino taking a fourth team to the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I mean, my reaction is, Grand Slam hire. They've gone through a slew of coaches. In the past decade or more, and they've got a guy that somehow, some way is gonna win. You know, even if it takes strippers to do it.
Okay. No issue with 70-year-old Rick Pitino out there. Like we think that's a good. That's good mojo out there. 70-year-old Pitino, still.
I think he's a pretty fit guy, and 70's the old 50.
Okay, fair enough. Obviously,
and he says he wants to coach till he's 80. So I mean, not to change the subject, but he wants to coach 7 more years longer than Syracuse let Boeheim go.
That's fair. That's fair. I think what happened with Boeheim, was there any other way for this to end? Like, do you agree? Obviously, I don't think either one of us agrees with the way this kind of went down. But if we were really waiting for Boeheim to say, is it it? And if you're the establishment, do you at some point have to almost force his hand?
Yeah, maybe, but I don't think it had to be just now. I think you could have said, hey, look, for services rendered, here's the deal. Like, we're not happy the way the last couple of years went, but you know, you want to coach and you're the guy that brought all this fame and fortune to us. So listen, we'll get you to 75, but you know, after that, it's kind of the same, you know, kind of leash that Kraft should have Belichick on. Like, my God, how long are we going to have to wait before you make us relevant again, just so you can get your coaching victories? I would have given him a little bit of time, but with the understanding that we need an NCAA tournament run and that sort of thing. And by the way, anyone looking for another pick, he says he's not leaving Syracuse, but I say he's going to go down to the Queens in the winter. I say he jumps on the bench of Rick Pitino to form an all-star cast. a little bit like, that's what I'm calling. You heard it right here.
Okay. We'll see. Here's the question, or here's my thing. I would be okay with him getting more time because the person that they hired was somebody that was already on the staff. Like, I don't understand what the speed is unless they thought they were going to lose that guy.
Right.
Like, yeah. If maybe the behind the scenes was, hey, listen, I'm not doing this for a few more years. I'm not doing this for another year. Like, it's time now. Before things go downhill so much that now it's almost like I'm taking over a sinking ship, and now I have to figure out how to bail water. I want to take over a ship that's sailing pretty smoothly. I don't know, but the fact that they didn't go outside of essentially the family to hire the new guy, to me says you should have probably just let Boeheim rock for another year if that's what he wanted to do. FDU, they're looking for a head coach because their former head coach recently ousted by FAU, who's making a fantastic run in the tournament, has now taken the head coaching job at Iona. Is it fair to say that Iona might be the number one job in the NCAA for coaches to go to that want to go to upper level jobs? Is that the best mid-major program to go to if you want to go to an upper level job?
Well, right now I think it's as good as any. I can't think of one that's any better. I would have told you many years ago the best job that fits that category would have been Xavier. But now it would be hard considering them a mid-major. But
yep.
Back in the day, you got the job at Xavier and did well. Then you had a, you know, you were on the escalator up.
I think it's Iona and I think it's Belmont. For me, I think those two programs right now are two programs that if you go there and you do a good job, not if you go there and you just blow it out the water. If you just go there and do a quality job, get the team to an NCAA tournament, maybe win a game, you're going to get an upper-level job, one of those high major jobs. And so, you know, so kudos to them. But this is, we were talking about it off air. This is the life that Iona will always have to exist in, right? This is their world. They're never going to get they'll be lucky to get a guy that's there for 5 years, let alone 10 years.
Right, but Tim Clouse was, right? So their coach before Pitino was there for a good stretch. I'm going to say 7 to 9 years or so, as I recall. But unusual situation.
He turned down several jobs, though, right? Like,
right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He turned down jobs year after year after year until he was like, yo, I got to go because it's only going to get more and more diminishing returns after, like, He could only wait. I don't think you have any other choice. Like, you're either going to stay there, or you're either going to leave the hero, or stay there long enough to become the villain.
Yeah, and I think good transition to exactly what Eddie Cooley was doing when he headed for G-Town and got out of Friarland. You know, a lot of people are shocked by that, and they ask me, obviously, because they know I know Eddie some, and you know, was I shocked? And I said, I'm not. I was surprised as the next guy, but not shocked, because at 53 or so, I mean, he had a decision to make. I'm going to make this is it. Or I'm going to get a fresh challenge, which I think a lot of people enjoy, right? I'm going to get a fresh challenge that probably comes with a few things that we can or don't have to discuss. But I'm sure it comes not only with a salary bonus, but more NIL guarantee. And just the idea that, I won't even go beyond that, but I think we both agree that Georgetown landed a hell of a coach, Eddie Cooley.
Absolutely. And here's the thing that I like about it. It's not like you're going to hear any backlash from a guy like Patrick Ewing. And here's why. I think Patrick Ewing understands he was given every opportunity to be successful. Like, he comes from a background where you can't be mad if after, what was it, five seasons, you have not had the level of success that they would hope, some level of consistency in success that they would hope. After 5 years, you're not going to get a guy like Patrick Ewing to go, oh, this is ridiculous. So you don't have to walk, even though you're walking into a job where you've got to build some stuff up, you're not walking into something where the coach that's walking out blew it up on the way out. I think Patrick Ewing understands this is the life. I had my chance. I played my role. By the way, when you talk about all-star cast, I wouldn't be surprised to see a guy like Patrick Ewing, if he still wants to coach, end up on that St. John's team with Rick Pitino. If you want to talk about all-star staffs, that's
okay,
where
so it's
New York
Rick,
ties.
Rick Pitino, Patrick Ewing, and Jim Boeheim. I mean, it's going to be a Netflix docu-special.
Hey, bring your tires, your poor, you're hungry, and come on over to the new Death Row Records, i.e. St. John's Red Storm. More comings and goings. What are we missing? Who are we missing as far as people who are on the move?
Let's see. I mean, those are the ones I wanted to cover. There's a few more. I'm a little bit brain dead on the whole waiver wire at the moment. So,
well, good, because we don't need to waste any more time. How about those? Yeah. How about those Princeton Tigers? How about the Princeton Tigers? How about FAU? Like, when you see what these guys are doing in the tournament, what these teams are doing in the tournament, what is your number one reason why we've seen these double-digit seeds upset these one seeds and two seeds in the tournament?
Well, I don't think there's any one reason, because I think it begs the answer to say experience, but like FAU right out of the chute's a pretty young team, so you can't just ride the experience train, although that certainly accounts for some of Princeton's success and some of these other teams in the tournament. So I just think it's the, you know, we've been talking about it ad nauseum, but it's the parity and the rosters and the transfer portal and just, you know, everyone's pretty good. I don't know. I'd have to break it down further, but I just think no one is afraid of anyone anymore for lots of different reasons. You combine that with either experience, exceptional coaching, or the negative pressure of the tournament. Let's look at Purdue. I mean, as stunning as Princeton was, the fact that you were one of the, you know, only experts, if you will, that were was outright calling that one. I mean, Purdue, no one. That, I think, is the biggest upset in the history of the tournament. And you could visibly see the pressure all over the faces of Purdue as they launched, you know, air balls and misfired passes and all of that. So I'm saying there's a degree of negative pressure, heightened pressure in the tournament on the favorites that's playing a role in it too.
I have a theory. I'm gonna share it with you, but I also want to come back to this because you were very you had a lot of praise for Matt Painter as a coach.
Yeah.
Last week, there was something that I saw Matt Painter not do that I actually saw Gonzaga do in their game, and it was we even talked about it. I texted you about it. There was one point in time where, you know, Gonzaga came out and they ran out like a nine. It was a 9-0 run. And then all of a sudden they were in a track meet and the team they were playing, it escapes my brain right now, but they came down and they hit a bunch of shots. Their guards were going crazy. All of a sudden you saw 12 straight possessions where they dropped that thing down to their bigs inside. And they just got jiggy down there. And it wasn't about, they didn't care that you were, that the other team was shooting threes and jump shots. They were getting buckets and they were bludgeoning that team. And eventually what happened was they started missing shots. They kept on hitting those twos, those layups inside because they couldn't stop them. They were getting fouled. They were going to the free throw line, hitting buckets. And they ran him right back down. They ran away with it. And I in my brain, I was going, man, that was a great. You knew that had to be something that came from the coach. Hey, chill out. Let's get it back down to these grown men in here. We got a 30-year-old guy in Drew Timmy down there. We got a really talented young guy down there. Let's get those dudes the ball and let's take advantage of what we absolutely have the weight for. Like what we have our advantage, let's take advantage of it to the best of its ability. I don't feel like I ever saw Purdue do that. I feel like Purdue was trying to do what they always did. And you mentioned not having a like what's the change B. up?
What's the plan B? So I mean, again, let's be fair. It was they couldn't throw it down to Zach Edey because FDU had six fighting pygmies that were, you know, surrounding him and challenging Purdue to shoot the outside shot. So that wasn't going to be, you know, an option like it was offensively for the Zags. But I think. Purdue, and I've seen online people that just may disagree with this, but I think Purdue had the option to change their defense if they couldn't change their offense and possibly play zone, play smaller. I'd even say pick up, like change the tempo of the game, even though that's seemingly what FDU wanted. Just take your high major players and say, look, we're just going to change this thing. So I think they were a bit stubborn in their approach, but that's one of the qualities that makes coaches at high levels good. They're stubborn and they make sure things get done a certain way. But yeah, I think that game raises questions about in-game adjustments and you know, finding something that you can switch up. So I'm a big Matt Painter fan, but I'd love to, you know, from a coach's perspective, have the conversation. Because I think at some point you got to be on the bench going, okay, I've seen enough. You know,
you don't think that with them throwing all of the fighting pygmies inside that there shouldn't have just been times where they went, I'm just going to turn and put it up on the board and we're just going to crash and put all of these long athletic dudes and see if they can keep us off the boards.
Well, yeah, I don't think Purdue has all those long athletic dudes you're talking about. So I don't think that's really, if you look at their team, I don't think that's the way they're built.
They have another damn near 7-footer that's a 5-star coming off the bench.
Like, yeah, okay, but you can't play two of them together. And I know they out-rebound. Well, I mean, okay, so that gets an adjustment. Maybe go to zone and put them together. Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about. I don't think you can – you're going to have to – you're not going to put 2 7-footers in your man-to-man defense.
Okay, that's fair.
But they did out-rebound. It's just – I think they ran into the perfect storm because they were one of the leading – rebounding teams in the country, both on offense and defense, and yet they didn't do it in this game. I also think all kudos to Tobin Anderson, who I know pretty well, and it was a remarkable game. I don't think you could play harder than FDU did. Like a lot of, we've seen teams play hard. They played hard, and Purdue didn't. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it was a little bit of the perfect storm, but I would have done something. So I don't know if it's the 7-footer you're talking about. I just plan B, right? And the analogy I think I used with you, maybe somebody else, I said, you know, Bill Belichick didn't play Malcolm Butler either and to this day, New England, you know, questions that stubbornness or whatever it was that didn't have him at least go to it. And I think Matt Painter is probably asking himself and his staff questions about, you know, what is it that we could have done? Because you just think at a certain point they're just going to make 2 or 3 shots that are going to change that game or get 2 or 3 rebounds. And you just keep waiting. But, you know, what happens is you wait too long, you lose.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like when you're a superior team and you have such an advantage, like I'm looking at these fouls, man. Like FDU were racking up the fouls. I was trying to remember. They were racking up the fouls. They had the point guard had 4 fouls, the forward had 4 fouls. I just feel like you know what? Let's see if you can just keep on being those irritants for as long as you can. But keeping up 26 threes, is just not going to be the way when your best player all year has been a post player.
Yeah, no argument there. Again, I don't think they were just hoping to make enough. And, and again, back to something we talked in the pre-tournament show. Look, I don't think Purdue's that good. I mean, I don't think it's a vintage Purdue team. And I think that's why very few experts had them going all that far. And, you know.
In fairness, we did not have them going to the Final Four. Both of us said that Purdue – both of the teams that we thought would lose before the Final Four, both lost before the Final Four.
That is correct.
We thought that they might make fools of us, and they didn't. And so, like, we had a hunch, we had a notion. How about, speaking of coaching, how about Tom Izzo?
Mm.
Man, my brother and I, we have a saying when it comes to the tournament. In Izzo, we trust.
Yeah, but you kind of, you know, interestingly,
I thought it was the year.
Last week you said, you know, he just doesn't have the guys anymore.
The dudes. And when I tell you, I felt so bad about doubting. You know how much I love Izzo. Talking about Izzo for years. Like, I felt so bad for doubting him, but I think even Izzo was surprised. You saw how animated he was on the sideline. Like, and he's normally a fiery guy, but I mean, he was animated. Like,
and having fun with it. I mean, animated. I think he may have listened to the pod and played it for his team. And, you know, you probably got him all jacked up when he realized that the rats were leaving the sinking ship. But, I agree with you, and I go back there to the same thing I saw Mark Few say. You know, I think, you know, they're guys that are used to dealing with the pressure that Purdue faced. You know, usually they hold up to it a little bit better, And in this case, both Gonzaga and Michigan State are playing the role of underdog and taking advantage of it. And so, yeah, shame on us, shame on me for not seeing through that. And when you were, I should have been buying stock in Izzo when you were giving me all the reasons. I should have been able to tell you, no, 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 keep the faith. This is the year that this is exactly the right kind of year for him to do something. And then yeah. Here I go, looking, I'm taking K-State to win that game like a damn fool because I think K-State's going to ride the guard, Howell, or I think it's Howell, but, you know, as a three seed, but it's like saying that, like, are you kidding me? How the heck do you bet against Izzo now? But I'm going to, and hopefully he makes me look like an idiot.
Yeah, I
who do you got there? Who do you got? Who do you got?
I hope he continues to make everybody look like an idiot. I can't go against Izzo again. I can't go, like, just kill me dead with him. Kill me dead with him.
I got K-State doing a Kemba Walker impersonation to the, you know, Final Four now. If we were to re-bracket, I've got K-State as my team out of the East, probably having to get through Tennessee to do it.
Okay, so here's we're gonna rapid fire through the Sweet 16, right now. Michigan State, Kansas State. You said you like Kansas State. I said I can't go against Izzo again. Arkansas, UConn, which I think is the best matchup of the of Thursday. I think UConn shoots the ball better than Arkansas does. Arkansas doesn't shoot the ball well. That's why they've had issues all year. UConn, I think, squeezes out a close matchup because Arkansas does play good defense.
And Arkansas is a hot team, and I think they're a dangerous team. I think of the teams with at least a four seed difference. They're an 8 versus a 4. I think they are a likely upset winner there, along with Miami as a 5 going against Houston 1. I think those are the two long shot most dangerous teams. But I've got UConn also, but it's going to be a tough one.
The spread's -3.5 in Arkansas, so it wouldn't be a long shot for them to.
But I'm just saying, from a seeding standpoint, Arkansas was an 8. You know, and again, I mean,
UConn's a 4. Get it.
No.
I think FAU has a legitimate opportunity to beat Tennessee. And here's why. Because FAU is playing with house money. And ain't nothing better than playing with house money. You know the old adage when you walk into the locker room. Nobody thinks we have a chance of beating Tennessee. They have all of the blah, 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 blahs. They have everything. We're just little old FAU. But FAU can put the ball in the cup. And whenever you have a squad full of dudes who can put the ball in the cup, you've got a chance of beating a team who they're going to get real tight in the back region. If this thing is clutch, if it's close in the second half, it's going to get real, real tight back there. And I don't know if the coach or the players have that level of cojones to sit down on it and get the job done in a real tight one when that other team is just playing as free as can be. They've got nothing to lose.
Yeah, so let's just go and say FAU may emerge in the Final Four. So not only beating Tennessee, but then in the same logic, going on and winning the East bracket. I'm not asking you to comment on that, but I'll agree with you on FAU in a mild upset in the Sweet 16. And setting up, what Florida Gulf Coast, what was that again? That wasn't a slam dunk to the beach. What the heck were the dunkers? You know, Andy and Florida Gulf Coast, and they were dunking, they were fly dunking, beaching.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. But
how about that?
They
had
rolling.
Something going on.
Yeah, they were. It was one of those. Gonzaga, UCLA, great matchup. I think the Zags. I think the Zags get it done.
Okay, I got UCLA there.
I think the Zags get it done. Friday matchup, Alabama.
Drew Timmy learns a hard lesson that college has got to end sometime, even when you're 30.
On next week, we're going to discuss that more. I'm not a fan. Not a fan of Drew. Not that I'm not a fan of Drew Timmy. I'm not a fan of Drew Timmy still in college. Alabama, San Diego State. We know where you're going.
Yep. In Nate Oates, I trust.
By the way, the spread in that game is 7.5. Do you think it's that? Do you think it's that wide a margin?
If Alabama's going to win, it's going to be that wide a margin. If San Diego State, obviously it won't be if they pull the upset. So I'll say, win, yes.
I like San Diego State to cover. I don't know if I like them to win. I think San Diego State keeps it close. Houston, Miami, I think Houston blows Miami out.
Yeah, you're a much stronger, much better gambler than I. So I'm going to defer to you on the spreads. I'll tell you what. Spanish Jim, Larrañaga, is that how we say it down in Miami?
Larrañaga.
I'll tell you what. Don't put anything past him. He's got as good a payroll in the Sweet 16 as anybody. His NIL money, which they detailed on The Athletic, is a really good read for someone that wants to jump on The Athletic and read the piece on NIL. But he's got his guys going. So I guess I agree with your pick, Houston. I'm not betting against Houston, but it's not going to be easy. That's what I'm going to tell you. And if Miami wins, they're going to win as the rabbit. They're going to win right out of the chute, and they're going to win it wire to wire with Houston just out of sorts.
So I'm going to give people a little bit of insider magic, right? Houston in every game lets a team get a run. I don't know why, but there's a team that gets a run. So there's going to be a point in this game where Miami is probably going to be up by like 7-9 points. And the live bet is going to be plus like 300 or something on Houston. Take that live bet right there. Houston's going to run them down because they'll have a 12-minute run where they choke the life out of Miami, and Miami won't be able to score, and those dudes will just keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. Pause. And I think this game is going to be a blowout. I think that this is the one that ends in a double-digit win for Houston. Princeton, Creighton, we've talked about. Get your guns out. It's going to be a lot of shooting, a lot of three-point shooting going on in this game. Do you think that Creighton gets it done, or do you think Princeton keeps dancing?
I think Creighton gets it done. The team that most people saw early in the year when they were top 10, maybe even top 5, playing good again, just too much. Led by Cole Kiner, Cole Brenner, big fella inside. They just have a little too much for Princeton. I don't think that's going to be a blowout or nothing else. And, what I think Princeton went to the Elite Eight once before with Bill Bradley, if my history serves me right. But anyway, boy, I'll tell you what, if Princeton gets this one done.
I think Ryan Nembhard goes bonkers in this game. I think there's too many. They play a three guard lineup, so there's too many guys that'll hoist up a three that Princeton won't be able to do what they were able to do against Yale in the Ivy League championship in the playoffs. the Ivy League championship in the tournament, excuse me, where they were able to kind of take one guy away and dare the other two guys to like beat them. That's not going to work. You lead those guys open.
But they beat the number one offense. They beat the number one team and the offensive team in the country in Arizona. So
yeah, but how does Arizona really get their points though? It's not like it's. I don't think it's in the same manner that Creighton gets their points.
Right.
I think there's a difference in how they get their points, and I think that will be the problem with Princeton is that this matchup it's going to be gunning and gunning. I just think that Creighton has more people who can put three in the cup every time, and if it becomes a 3-point shooting contest, I'll take Creighton. But man, if Princeton gets it done, gotta give a lot of kudos to those boys over there in Jersey. By the way, what's up with all of the Jersey teams that keep making runs? That's an interesting thing. We gotta get into that on the next pod. Xavier, Texas. I think Xavier gets it done. I think that you have to admire Texas has been able to rally after all of the craziness that went on with the coach midseason and them kind of tumbling and resetting and now moving forward. I think Xavier puts the clamps on it, gets it done. What do you think?
I'm going to ride with you on Xavier, although I think that's more of a pick'em game, 3-2 game than the Zag UCLA game, which I think could go either way too. But I'm gonna ride with you on Xavier, but be a great story for Rodney Terry, who I believe has not been offered the full time position yet, with Dick Vitale screaming for him to get the position. Speaking of comings and goings and limbo, Rodney Terry has done an unbelievable job with the Texas team since the
Where did Wade end up at? Didn't Wade go somewhere from LSU? Didn't he end up somewhere?
Yeah, he did. Did he end up at Sam Houston or no, McNeese State?
McNeese State. Yeah. So it's interesting. Yeah. Interesting hiring.
Hey, I guarantee you they got a good NIL deal too.
Hey, you need to have a good NIL deal these days. What do you think about the does Houston and Alabama, do they survive to the Final Four?
Yes.
Those are our two that we think are getting through to the Final Four. Do you believe they survive to the Final Four?
And by the way, I'd rate Alabama as my favorite to get, 1-2 over Houston. Alabama, I think they're both going to get there. So I'm going to call them locks, but if I had to prioritize them, I'm putting Alabama and then Houston. And then, I'm sorry, what was your second question?
No, I was asking, do you like them both to get to the four?
Yeah, I mean, I like them both to get to the four.
Yeah, so full disclosure, my bracket, I have Texas versus Houston in the Elite Eight, and I have Houston beating Texas. After watching, I would not be surprised if Xavier gets it done.
Texas in my bracket as well. Getting beat by Houston, but same thing. I'm riding the other way.
I have Alabama. You know, I don't know if we talked about it, but I have Alabama versus Houston in the championship game. And I have Houston winning it all. So I think we're on opposite sides of that.
Right, which is great. That's where we should be.
Well, I mean, zebra stripes, right?
Right.
Absolutely. But
the question is, who are the other two? And I've kind of hinted it first full, again, didn't have this in any one of my brackets, but have it tonight. I'm going to go with Dusty May, who's an unbelievable guy, by the way. But I'm going to take Dusty May and FAU and whatever, slam dunk to the beach they got down there in Florida. I'm gonna take FAU coming out of the East as our Cinderella. And I do have UConn in one of my brackets, so I'm gonna take UConn out of the West.
I've got UConn beating Gonzaga. In an absolute barn burner, just just points on points on points. And I have Michigan
State. I think UConn will beat the brakes off them.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But also, you know, like you said, this is the – we don't really have anything to lose Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Maybe they play a little freer. Maybe. But I think regardless, even if they beat the brakes off them, it's still going to be like some 80-something to 70-something game. Like, it's going over. And then I have but I have UConn advancing. And then I have I think I just got to go Izzo to shut down the Cinderella run from FAU. Although I will admit, if FAU is able to get by Tennessee, there is no reason why they should have any fear of Michigan State or Kansas State.
Repeat that again. Sorry, lost my concentration.
I said that if FAU is able to get past Tennessee, which I think they have a really good chance of doing.
Right. Yeah.
They won't have any fear of Michigan State or Kansas State.
Right. No, that's how you kind of talked me into that pick in real time. And I like everything I've seen from FAU. And I like the way FAU handled themselves against FDU. I think lesser teams would have lost to FDU. I watched the poise of Dusty May and the players. I was impressed with the way they got that done, because I think there's a lot of other teams that wouldn't have. But, and I'll just say, I mean, I've got FAU, but K-State as maybe my sleeper pick, if you will, to sneak into the Final Four. I don't know if you can call them a true sleeper, but I'm gonna say, hey, don't, you know. We're not done with surprises. That's all I'm saying. So I'm saying I K-State could be a surprise. I mean, I think Arkansas could be, but I don't think Arkansas has the same life expectancy as I think right now the someone in the East, right? The East has got a easier run to the Final Four. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think the only problem for Arkansas is they just don't, in my opinion, they don't shoot the ball well enough. Like, I think that in the end, you're going to have to outscore somebody. Like, you're going to have to outscore somebody. That might be the undoing of Houston. If you catch me in an honest moment, that might be the undoing of Houston overall. But I think that you got to be able to outscore somebody at some point. And I don't know if I just don't know if Arkansas can do it. So,
hey, when did you reach the saturation point in the tournament? I turned to Mary Beth at about 10:45 on Sunday night and said, I am officially OD'd and saturated.
To be honest with you, I did not. I watched. Okay. I watched NCAA tournament stuff. I watched NIT. There were some really good NIT games on that I was into. I also think that I have the added advantage of having a little sweat equity into the games, you know, a little coin maybe here and there that makes me pay a little bit more attention. But I was in. And I think because I wasn't as locked in to the season as I normally am. And maybe because I wasn't as locked into the college basketball season as I normally am, it just gave me a lot more juice. I was really looking forward to this tournament. And I was full speed ahead, even through St. Patrick's Day, which, if anybody knows anything about St. Patrick's Day in Savannah, it's the second largest St. Patrick's Day parade in the United States down here in Savannah. And it is otherworldly. We'll just put it like that. I recommend anybody to come and check out St. Patrick's Day in Savannah, Georgia. I know it sounds crazy, but if you want an absolutely unreal time, come on down to St. Patrick's Day, Savannah, 1 year and bring your kidneys and your liver with you. Make sure you've got things loaded up.
I'm going to put it on my list for next year, but I think it was just me because I tell Mary Beth, you know, if you put me in the prone position, I watched that last game in bed. So once you can put the best show on earth in front of me and I get into that prone position and, you know, she's the only thing that's going to keep me up is Mary Beth yelling and screaming at me because she looks over and I'm sleeping, which really annoys the hell out of her. So anyway,
I gotta get Mary Beth. Is Mary Beth around?
No, she's in the other room.
Oh, sadness. Anyway, I think that when she's yelling at you, that means you definitely should pop up because it's probably something really good going on. Like, right. The yell is only because there's something exciting going on. So that's fantastic. And ladies and gentlemen, this pod is not going to be a full hour. We're out of here. Yep. But we really wanted to make sure that we gave you a full deep dive into what we thought about the tournament. Looking forward to coming back and doubling back to some of the stories next week as we're down to the Final Four. Make sure that not only should you like and subscribe to the channel because you like what we're doing, but next week is when we get into our Rank'em confidence picks. You're not going to want to miss it. We're 1-0. We are 1-0 with choosing the national champion based off of our confidence picks, and I can't wait to see how it shakes out next week.
Those are sponsored by CycleBar, aren't they?
You know what? Everything that we do is sponsored by CycleBar. We're still waiting for them to get that North Bridgeton or that Bridgeton office to open up, that Bridgeton CycleBar. But until then, we'll keep showing love. And by the way, every time I go there, I'm just motivated to continue to move. It's just always motivation to move. And so, you know, not swinging a golf club lately, but I've definitely been on my cycle. So I appreciate you bringing it up.
All right.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that has been another edition of Zebra Strikes Podcast, Episode 10. I am Coach Gene Clemens, as always, joined by Coach Witt of Bridgeton Academy. Make sure if you got some ball players, go ahead and send them on up there to hang out with Coach Witt for a year. Until next time, you guys take it easy. Peace.